just kind of pile on with my word this morning.
Okay.
What you're sharing. Because then it builds on Lacey's worship this morning to the they're connected. This thing about being on assignment. And how can we be that person? John 13:34 says this. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Romans 15, verse 7 says this. Therefore receive one another as I have received you. Ephesians 4:32 says this, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. It's like, okay. I have an assignment, right? It's like, there's this, right? You saw it, the common denominator, right? It's like, knowing how much we're loved. Knowing how much we're forgiven, knowing how much we're accepted, knowing how much we're received. And this thing about, can I do what Angel was talking about? Can I be this person who, can I actually love them unless I know how much he's loved me? Right? Love this way. Just like I love you, forgive them like I forgave you, accept them like I accepted it, receive them like I've received you. So it's like, you know, 1 John actually says, you know, it's like sort of consequently, like if you aren't loving others, then you're not loving God. Right? But you could look at it like, you know, well, if you aren't loving others, maybe it's because you don't know his love for you. Because he just told us the equation. Here's how it works. Love them this way. If I don't know this way, how do I do it? So this may sound fundamental, and you know this, but it's this, it's his kids. As his kids, he calls his own adopted kids. He says there's nothing that can separate us from his love. Right? Not only that, he says, in whatever trial or circumstances, you're going to win. You're going to be triumphant in every trial. Right? There's literally nothing in all these conditions or issues or circumstances or whatever that's going to separate me from his love. Romans 8:37, this is where it says it. He says, no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. More than conquerors. For I'm sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Who? Trick question. So who then can separate us from his love? Me. I'm the one who pulls myself out. I don't believe it. I don't believe it loves me that much. I'm the one that pulls out of the equation. Right? And why do you do that? It's like, I look at my circumstances, and it's like, well, this stinks. This isn't fair. And I begin to go, well, that means God did it, God, or I put it at, well, I didn't do this, therefore God did this, God allowed this, right? So now, right, the measuring stick for love, for God's love, is my circumstances. No! This is why I want to tie it back into what we talked about 2 weeks ago. I said, the cross, everything's the cross, right? It's like the measuring stick for his love is the cross, right? Christ crucified. We were guilty. Romans 5, 6, and 8 says this, for when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Ephesians 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Everything works because of his love. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praises of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. There's this movie. Have you seen the movie August Rush? I was thinking about that. I saw this clip for it recently, and it just put it in my mind again. If you haven't seen it, it's a wonderful movie. And it's the story of a little boy who's essentially is taken away at birth, and it has this long, just doesn't feel wanted. Knows he's got parents out there, but he's just longing to be connected and known. And who's the comedian, the Bork character? Robin Williams plays his street father. Who's just a con man. Yeah. And they call him Wizard in the show, and he's just using the kid for his gifts and talents, and there's this one scene, and this is the one I'd seen, where he's we need a stage name, because you're too good for these people, and what makes you come alive, and in this interaction he looks at the boy and he just says, being found. And because he knows, I've got parents out there. You can sort of think of this place in Ephesians that I just read. It's like, God's got all this for you. Think about the August Rushes, and maybe it's the kids that ran away from home, and they're off looking for whatever. And your dad, they left, you haven't seen them. All of a sudden, you have this unexpected encounter on the street, and you see it's your kid, and he's living homeless and broken, and you bring him home, and it's like reacquaint him with the family home, and that's your bedroom, and this is our family table, and you throw out all his rags and get him new clothes, and he gets the long soaking bath, and it's like, and in the days ahead, the dad's like going to like looking for those intimate moments to reconnect with him and remind him who he is. Remind him how loved you are. That's what's happening here in Ephesians. That's what's happening here. It's like, I'll go on more. You know, I stopped at verse 6. Let's pick up in 7. It's like, can you see the dad talking to the kid? It's like, it's in him we have redemption through his blood. In him we have our forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound to us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will.
What chapter are you reading in?
Ephesians 1. According to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, which are in heaven and which are on earth, all in him. Right? It's like you're reminding, he's reminding his kids. He's like the whole heaven's, all his ministering angels are all on assignment to remind you who you are. Remind you how loved you are. To remind you when it stinks, when it's a bad day, when it hurts, how loved you are. It's like this echoing. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. So, does that mean everything's gonna work out okay?
Eventually.
Yeah. It's like, does that mean I won't have stuff? Does that mean I won't have crisis? No. It does mean that from the truth of that place of how loved I am, how accepted I am, how received I am, how known I am, I face life. It's from that place, right? That's why I said, it's like, where's my peace? Where do I find peace? It's like that same place I found it sitting in the Plaza Hotel or whatever it was in Monterey, where you're being loved and catered, that same place of, it's like I can respond to life in difficult places.
But list, you know, like the, you're loved, you're received, you're accepted. It's almost like a tools he gives you to then do life.
Yeah. Hold on to that, because I think I might want to say something about that tool, son, because I've been talking about that at work lately about, squirrel. All right. I might come back and say something about that. Here's a thought. Our faith, which is really us, like, walking in this place of getting it. That's what faith is. My faith is like activated through love. My faith comes alive through love. It's like love is the thing that feeds my faith. The thing we've kind of messed up with church, with religion, is we think faith comes alive through me. Our faith comes alive through love. It says this in Galatians 5:6. I know I'm hopping around a lot, but I want you to get it. Paul says this in 5:6, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Faith expressing itself through love. Here, let me say it this way. How about this? Faith is... Right, tell you the two questions. Lucy, who am I? Faith is vertical. Faith is, so it's trusting that everything I need, everything I long for, I have because of what Jesus has accomplished for me at the cross. That's faith. But faith is like, oh man, he did this. Oh man, I have this. Oh man, that's in me. Oh man, right? You can build that list. So this is faith. Love, on the other hand, is like, it's like horizontal. It's outward with you. right? Because of everything Jesus has done for me, faith, I can now do everything I need to do for you without requiring you to do anything for me. Because he's filled me, I can give to you love. Because it's not quid pro quo. If you do this, then I'll do this. No, that's not what God says. God says, I don't require that. No, it's not a business transaction. It's like, because he has given me, I give you. That's where all those verses we say, I loved you, you loved them. I forgave you, you forgive them. I accepted you, you accept them. I received you, no, you received them. Faith works to sin, right? So what's happening? Well, wait, I need my love tank filled. Yes, you do, right? So love is faith being worked out of me. Whereas faith is love being worked into me by God, right? What am I accepting by faith? I'm getting my tank full so I can give it to you, right? Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Love is being worked into me through faith, building my tank up. And now it's like I'm releasing it to you. So, here we go. So what's the, right? Faith brings it in, love, sending it out. Now, the implication's this. Hey, love might be absent to the degree faith is missing. That's why I said, maybe if we're not loving well, it's because we're not knowing how to love over love. Maybe if I'm not forgiving well, it's because, right? If I'm not, what did you say in Ephesians? If I'm not trusting that everything I need in Christ I already possess, if I'm not trusting, that's a lack of faith. If I'm not trusting that everything I need in Him, that I have in Him, what am I going to do? I'm going to look to take from you rather than give back to you. Lack of love. By the way, that's the basis of manipulation, control. You probably have a list of things, right? That's what's happening here. Rather than trust Him to fill this, I'm taking from you to fill it. I want my tank full, so I'm going to take from you, right? We end up concentrating on what I need rather than what you need. My eyes just shifted from, how can I, like Angel was saying, how can I bless him? How can I be encouraging to him? How can I, let's send a note. Let's give them this. That's what the card was, by the way. That was their response to you. They started it. Well, we're so glad you're here. I hope you had a great anniversary. That's what that is. Oh, they're not looking at it. Like, how can we bless this couple? Right. Look. Don't you love that? Squirrel. But Jesus loves me, this I know. Jesus loved me. It really is the bedrock of everything. Us getting it. Because these blocks are as good. They have holes in them and curves, and some are straight, some had angles, and you would line up the blocks, and then you'd drop a marble in, and it would, you would like get it to come out the bottom. Jesus, knowing Jesus loves you, it's like it lines you up. It lines up all the tracks. So things can flow through you, right? It's like it sets your heart in line with God. Knowing Jesus loves you, it sets the stage for me to hear Him. connect with them. How I see them, how I hear them. It's, I'm literally becoming one with them. It's like, God, I'm in this place when I'm in line with them. Oh, God loves me. Oh, God's in me. God's, wow, he's right here, right? And when I become love, it's like, he can entrust me with anything. I have an assignment for you. Go love that person. Oh, hey, could you go pray for that person? And you're like, yeah! Because I have a, there's a boldness that's come on me. There's a confidence that I have, right? Because I know, man, I know who I am in him, right? When I know who I am with God, right? I'm in his love. And who's my reference point for complaining?
Say that again.
When I'm in that place of like, I'm in line with him. His love sets me in place, like where I'm receiving from him. I'm in that place where he's filling me, and he's in power. And my whole system is being like soaked in his love. Right? Is it when I'm in that place, like in his love? I'm in his love. I lose my reference point, I said, for being judgmental, for being critical of him, of you. We were made for him to live in us.
That is really good.
So knowing he loves me keeps me. The guard word keeps me, guards me in the midst of adversity. Again, it's not that I think everything works out fine, I'm never going to get sick again. No, it's from that place I can respond to sickness in my life. From that place I can respond to lack in my life. From that place I can respond to hurt, pain, being poked. And from that place. So our whole, how do we learn to live, equip people to live out of backwards? Right? You could say that's like living out of his presence. When I say that, it's like with this reality that he's in me. He's in me. Because when we live in his presence, there's this, there's this substance, that might not be the right word, that we share with God, that's expressed in our intimacy and in our exchange with him. And that's what comes out of me. And converting people is when we make them like us. Transformation is when we help them become who they were created for. Right? We're actually helping them get in line with them. Right? My job is to, I have an assignment to kind of help you know you're loved, but it's to get them in that place where, okay, he's the one filling you. My encouragement helps you get to that place. My acknowledging helps you get to that place. My receiving you. I'm not your source of love, right? That's not our job. But by helping them kind of connect to that place. Transformation is that we help them get to that place where, oh, faith vertically is working his love into me. So all this lines up to where we were talking about probably 3 or 4 weeks ago. I'll just end with this because I could keep going for a long time. In Genesis 1. Because this thing about transformation, help them get to that place. Help them know who they are. Help them know who I am, who they are. Two questions we always say here. Helping them know that. That's not, that idea of transformation wasn't the church's idea. It started in Genesis 1. In the beginning. God said, right? because it says in Genesis 1, near the end of the chapter, it's like God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. We're created in his image of his kind, right? We remember when we talked about body, mind, and spirit? So we have, and we talked about, we have this unique capacity to connect with them. Right? We're perfectly designed, amazingly designed to connect with them. Right? We're created for relationship with them. According to his likeness, which means we share his nature, which means how he loves. The things he comes alive about, his passions, his completeness, his joy, and fill up the list. All of this that comes alive inside of us. That's the thing that makes me tingle when we connect with him. We can feel those things being energized inside of us. So it's like every action, every transaction, every interaction, everything, all this is based on his nature, right? And so we would have dominion. So we're not, our trials are under us, not over us.
They don't,
right? I don't become disabled because of this. It's like, no, I know who I am. So I face life because of this. So our whole thing about transformation and our role in it is reminding us, helping us get back to this place of knowing who we are, knowing who he is. So I would, I'll stop with just this, right? Because I know, because if Dave was here, Dave says, identity, Danny, it's identity.
I was just thinking about
identity. It's always identity, Danny, you're always talking on identity, it's identity.
Yeah.
What does Dave mean, right? That always starts with one, understanding who he is. That's his role. His role, right? Right. And we've talked about this. We did last Sunday. It's the basis of our worship. And from that, then I understand who I am, right? What's he saying about me? This whole thing about I'm loved, I'm known. Right? That's my role. Yes, right? And then my walk is about developing this relationship between us where I learn to like host his presence. I learn to like stay alive so he fills me, so he connects with me, he energizes me, he stirs my passions, right? He reminds me who I am. I have dominion over these things, right? So it is from that place that I walk in peace, right? And by the way, this is the walking in the garden stuff, because it's like that's what intimacy looks like, where he giggles over us when we're in this place of contentment, right? So we'll do a part two, but what did we say? What separates us from his love?
Us,
right? So Satan has one game plan, one. He is not a clever person. He has one game plan. Right?
It's not that he's not clever. He has no choice.
Right. So if the thing that makes us go wait, why? I'm not in alignment with him. I don't know his love. It doesn't flow through me. It's because we stepped up. We don't believe it, right? So what's his game plan? let's change Danny's mind. That's his game. Let's change Danny's mind about these things. These aren't true. Let's change his mind. This is true. This is true. Our assignment's true. Let's change his mind. Right? Got it? We'll pick up from there.
Ah,
right?
It's a cliffhanger.
Ah! but we have an assignment this week. Just like you wrote your note to the hotel with your, hey, let me say something about what made a difference. What might be your thing this week?
Okay.
Don't overthink it. Don't overthink it. Don't go look for a little Google email place to go put your comment or my Facebook site to. It might just be as easy as like, oh my gosh, I was just thinking about you this week. And funny, I ran into you. I just wanted to know, you make me smile. You do this, and I just, you did this with me this one time. It's always meant something to me. It always made me feel, always made me feel safe. It just made me happy when you do that. And I was thinking, and I just felt my inside get happy because of you. So what's that thing that you might be, that encouraging thing that you might do to kind of help some, and what are we doing? We're just helping them, getting them in place, getting them in the line, and like they were designed to be in that place, soaked in his love, right? So, Father, we ask for your appointments this week. We pray for Holy Spirit alerts that our senses right now are just supercharged. Our eyes are seeing things that we might not have seen before. We're hearing things from you. You're depositing things in our spirit. We just say, yes, we're connected with you. We were designed for our spirits to receive and talk with your spirit. So we just say yes to that flow from heaven this week. And we pray for courage and boldness to risk simple things, to just be lovers. God, we just pray that we're amazing lovers this week, encouragers, just enablers this week. We're here to help fill up people's love pots in Jesus' name. So marble of heaven, roll through us.
Marble
Amen.
Of heaven.
Amen.
Amen.